Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Okay, if you've been around for the last few weeks, and some of y'all are visiting today, good having you with us today, but we've been doing a series called From Resurrection to Mission. And in the weeks to follow the am I doing something wrong? Sorry, I got it. Somebody was waving at me over there. But the weeks after Jesus was resurrected, he offered restoration to Peter who had failed, right? Last week I talked about how he comforted Mary at the tomb, and he had to prove himself to Thomas, who doubted. And he gave faith to the disciples who were pretty shook up right now. But you know what he did? He showed up at just the right time when they needed him to show up. Now, I am so glad there's people from other churches in this congregation right now, because I need you to take this back to your church. I need you to know this is not just for Our City Church. This is called, the mission is called the Great Commission. It's for everyone who's in the church. Now, Jesus is preparing his disciples for the mission. He's telling them, he's promising them, and there's one coming that's going to help you fulfill this mission. He's going to be better than me because he can be all over the place. It ain't just me out touching one person at a time. There's one coming that's going to help you do what you're supposed to do. Anybody like all the Mission Impossible movies? Yeah. Come on. They are awesome. They really are good. All eight of them. I haven't seen the last one yet, but I'm going to watch it. It's 3 hours and 23 minutes long, so I got a marathon that night. But before even the mission starts, Ethan Hunt gets a message. Before each message, it says this: your mission, should you choose to accept it. Wow. Here, Ethan has to make a decision to accept this mission. And most of you know these missions are pretty impossible to achieve. There's something powerful about being trusted with responsibility. Imagine this. You're standing in front of a burning building, right? A firefighter comes out and hands you a hose and says, there are people inside that are going to die if you do not handle this hose correctly. You're probably going to be a little scared. Man, it's burning building. I'm not used to this. I'm not trained to this. But you're probably not going to take it lightly, are you? After the resurrection, Jesus gathers his disciples together, and he's laying out the mission. And here's the mission. This mission was going to carry eternal weight. It's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. It was a calling to them. It's a calling that would change lives forever then and pass down from generation to generation. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. They see Jesus and they start worshiping him. But it says some doubted, because you know why? The tension was still real. They had still been shaken because they saw Jesus crucified. They were hiding in fear because they didn't know what was going to happen to them. A lot had happened in those 40 days. It'd been cray-cray for about 40 days there. There was worship. There was amazement. There was doubt. There was uncertainty. But there was also fear turning into faith. They didn't know what was going to happen next. Faith is a test when you don't see things clearly. Faith is moving forward when you don't have it all mapped out. We want our lives to be so planned. We want to know where we're going, when we're going to do it. But faith is a journey where you turn GPS off and you say, God, here we go. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going where you tell me to go. And they had to walk through a lot of faith. And listen to this. You don't have to have a perfect faith. You don't have to have a perfect faith. You just have to have a willing faith. God, I don't know where you're sending me to, but I'm willing to go. I'm going to hit myself a little bit. Their faith was starting to increase. Their faith, because you know why? Because Jesus was with him. He was personally with them again. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Title of this message is called The Great Commission. Here Jesus is gathering his disciples together and he gives them one final command. These are not casual words. These are not optional words. These are marching orders. These are mission orders that he's giving to disciples and to every believer, every person sitting in this church today. This is our mission. The question is this morning, how do we live it out? How do we do it? Jesus declares in Matthew 28, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Remember, if you came up on a busy intersection, right? Cars flying around everywhere, people rushing in every direction. Then a single police officer walks up on the scene. He steps up and he does this. Everything in that chaos changes. Why? Not because of him, but because of the authority that he carries. I believe that we don't walk in the power of the God of the Holy Ghost enough because we have the authority that Jesus has given us. We don't exercise the things that God has told us to do. And we walk around a lot of times weak and we just don't know what to do. And God gave it, he mapped it all out for us. Before telling them what to do, he reminds them of who he is. Come on, sometimes you got to be reminded who you're following in this mission. He says, I am the Savior. I am the King. I have had all authority, not some authority, not partial authority, authority over life and death, over nations. And the Bible says the government rests upon his shoulders. He says, I have authority over everything on heaven and in earth. And because we are followers of Jesus, he has delegated that same authority to us. Luke 10:19 says this, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents, I don't like snakes, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have to exercise, we have to walk in it. You can't operate in your own strength. You can't operate in your own authority. You must depend upon his authority. And that requires what? Obedience. Ooh, that's a hard word. If Jesus truly has authority in your life, obedience to the mission is not optional, it's essential. The Great Commission is not a suggestion for just a very few specialized people or committed people. It's a calling, not just for select missionaries to go all over the world. It is for each and every one of us to fulfill. It's a command from the King. And if we don't get the chance to redefine it, we don't get the chance to ignore it. We don't get the chance to postpone it. It's a message from the King. It's an order from the King. And because the disciples were obedient, they would go from hiding in fear. We're going to talk about what happened to them a few days later after this. Under the threat of death to boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. What changed? They witnessed the power and the resurrection of the risen King. They knew the authority that Jesus had now, and they were starting to walk in it themselves. So Jesus is now doing this. He's leaving. He's turning over the responsibility to the disciples and us. And here he comes. This is what he proclaims. Listen to me closely. Jesus comes on the scene and says, let's get an awesome building. Let's have lights. Let's have camera. Let's have action. Let's have a great service every single Sunday. Let's develop some more programs. No, I just want everybody to hold on till I come back. That's not exactly what he said. I'm not against lights, even though they're bright. I'm not against loud music. I'm not against any of that stuff. But we have to understand the mission is people, not the things. That's not what Jesus said. He said this. He said, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He said, go make disciples. But here's what they had to do. They had to become disciples to make disciples. When Jesus said, follow me, they left everything. They left their families. They left their trade. They left all to follow him. And then they had 3 years to learn. Some of us won't even take 3 minutes to learn anything. Whew. They took 3 years out of their life to follow Jesus. How much are we willing to invest to see God transform our lives? We want the promotion without the preparation. We want the platform without the plowing. We want the status without ever seeking anything else. We want the power, the promotion, the prestige without the W-O-R-K. It's a little harder word today, y'all. So if it's your first time, I don't preach this hard all the time. But I really feel like this commission, that we're failing at it so much. We're not doing the things that we're called to do to win a lost city and a lost world and a lost family. But we have to become disciples to make disciples. And what makes a disciple? Servants become leaders, rulers, sorry. Servants are ones who are teachable, they're humble, they're adaptable, and they're ones that God are going to use to fulfill his mission. You're going to see people in these days coming up. Who, them? I can't believe God could use them. The Bible says he uses the foolish things of the world to confound. You're going to see that old drug-addicted person right now winning people and souls to the Lord because they're winning, because they're willing to do those things. They're willing to get humble. You might ask, what is a disciple? A disciple is not someone who just attends church. It's not someone who believes certain truths. It's not a passive believer who sprinkles a little Jesus on his everyday life. Come on, we walk around a lot of times, even as believers, and we sprinkle Jesus into this part of our life and that part of our life. And if it fits over here, I'll sprinkle a little Jesus over here. But Jesus needs to be the only part of your life. And then it says, seek the kingdom first, and I'll add all the other things to you. Jesus is the answer. The disciple of a follower is being led and shaped and transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. He tells them to make disciples of all nations. That means you go across the barriers, you go across culture, you go across race, you go across languages and social and economic. You don't look down on somebody because they don't have as much as you. Everyone, when he said, everyone is a whosoever. I'm looking at a room full of whosoevers. Every church in this nation has a whosoever, and every person in this world is a whosoever if they'll come to Jesus Christ because he paid it all. But everyone is welcome. A man once prayed, God, use me. Use me, Lord, just use me. Meanwhile, he hadn't talked to his neighbor in 5 years. Come on, you got a neighbor you haven't talked to? But God, you send me to the mission field, send me all over the world, but yet you can't walk across the street to talk to that guy that made you mad 5 years ago. Oh, I'm not going to meddle here. Your mission is not always far away. It's not always in a foreign land. It's right where you are. It's in your family. It's in your workplace. It's in your school. It's in your neighborhood. It begins wherever you are. How do we make disciples? Think about an apprentice. Bobby, he's a pipe fitter for 600 years. But Bobby just didn't read a book about it. He didn't just casually go about learning that trade, did you? You watched people do their job. This is how we make disciples. You had patience. They had to have patience with him, and he had to have patience with them. He probably failed a few times, right? Can I get an amen on that one? Failed a few times. But he grew under the guidance and direction of being an apprentice. We have to be patient with people. I'm going to say this again. We have to be patient with people because God was patient with us. Oh, Lord, you got to help me with that one sometimes. But when I look back, when I'm starting to lose my patience a little bit, I start thinking, God, you're still patient with me right now. Even serving you this long, I see Casey over here. He's still working on you, Casey. I know he is. But we got to be patient with people because people are important. Discipleship is this. It's relational. It's intentional. And it's ongoing. It never stops. He said, Matthew 28:20, he said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Notice Jesus doesn't say teaching them to know. He says teaching them to observe, to abide by all my commandments. It's truly about obedience and doing what God calls us to do. We're not called to fill people full of knowledge. We're not called to fill people full of useless things sometimes. We're called to help and to shape and to share Jesus with people. We must teach them to observe themselves and be a true disciple. A true disciple does this. Take notes. Learns the word. Lives the word. And follows Jesus daily, not just when you feel like it, because if you do that, you're not going to follow Jesus much because If we live on our feelings, we're always going to be living on our feelings. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Got any feelers in the room? Don't raise your hand. We'll pray for you later. It takes time. It takes investment. It takes patience. By not only the disciple, but by the discipler. The church is not called to produce spectators. It's called to produce participators. Come on, we're not spectators. We're participators in this. So let's ask ourselves this question, honestly. Are we helping people grow? Are we investing in someone else besides ourselves? Are we attending church every Sunday, leaving unchanged? I know this is hard this morning, but God is trying to do something with this army that he's put together. And you're part of that army. You can say, who me? Yes. God loves a bunch of who me's. Yes. Think about the disciple, especially Peter. He sat in Jesus' teaching for 3 years. He heard all the sermons. He walked with Jesus personally, and he still failed. Imagine the shame and the regret. But here's the good thing. Even though he was broken, the master restored him with patience, with love, and with kindness. And later you'll see this man I'm going to talk to about next week. He stands in front of thousands, boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went from a coward in fear to standing boldly proclaiming the gospel. Your past does not disqualify you. It prepares you to help others. I'm going to say that again. Your past does not disqualify you. It prepares you to help others. But the question they were asking, all nations? How are we going to do that one? You ever throw a rock in a pond? I love Cade, we were throwing rocks when they were building their house, so it was so fun. But you throw a rock in a pond, and what does it do? It makes a ripple effect. And sometimes it goes out farther than you think. The gospel has a ripple effect. One life touches another life, touches another life, touches another life. And this thing, never underestimate. Listen to me, y'all, and I know you've heard this before, but I love Kroger. Never underestimate the importance of a conversation, of a smile, of an act of kindness, or just being there for someone. Never underestimate those small things. You don't know what somebody's going through, that your smile, that your acknowledgement might help them get through that. We had some people pull up out here last Sunday, and Kevin came and got me and said, you know, they need some help out here. So I came out there, and they were heading back to Eastern Kentucky, God's country. And they had to put a transmission in their car. They had to have a bunch of work done to it. He said, we literally just don't have any money to get back home. So I went over there. I said, I don't like to give money. I said, come on over here. So here I am. I got y'all don't see my early Sunday attire. It's usually workout clothes and my flops when I'm walking around here. So I walked out there to him. He looked at me like, you the pastor? I was like, yeah, I haven't transformed into Superman yet. But so we walked over to the gas station, and I was able to pray with them just by giving them a fill up of gas. I gave them an extra $25 gas card to get down the road. But you don't know what that is. Then in the conversation, they started talking about, we have a son that lives just a few miles away here. I've never felt this from a church before. Said, and you walked up in here with your slides on. He said, man, you made me feel real comfortable. I said, it doesn't matter what you wear in our church. You got to wear clothes. But it don't matter what you come as you are, because we believe that you can belong before you behave. So he was just I hope to see his son. And he said, next time they come down every 6 weeks, he said, I hope to see them. They're going to come and visit us. But here, from a small group of disciples in the first century, look at the ripple effect. Christianity, the gospel spread over the entire world. Today, millions of people follow Jesus because of their obedience. They were bold because they knew Jesus was with them, because he said, surely, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. This is one of the most comforting, listen to me, this is one of the most comforting scriptures that you can ever lean into. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always and to the end of your problem. I'm with you always to the end of your journey. I'm with you always to the, come on, I've seen some journeys in some people's right here. God is with you all the way through it. He don't stop. He's the one comforting the, you know, they had to be comforted because this walk with Jesus can get rough at times, sometimes, you know. The mission can be overwhelming at times. It can seem intimidating. It's hard sharing your faith sometimes, isn't it, to somebody? And it's risky to step out in obedience. So I love to talk to people. There's other people, just they're not me. And I'm not downing you if you don't like talking to people, but start talking to some people. Start smiling at some people. But here's what God can do. If you allow him in the conversation, he can be in every conversation that you have. If you allow him in any step of obedience, he can be in every act of faith that you take. And you don't have to be perfect to do it. You don't have to have it all together. You simply just need to be available and trust God. In this mission, impossible, what it also says when he listens to the tape recording, it says, if you're caught or if you're killed, we will disavow you. It means we will deny you. It's a good thing about Jesus, he never does that. We have the assurance that Jesus is with us all the times, not just on Sunday, not just in church settings, not just in small groups or crews. He says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I will never leave or forsake you. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst. He's with us, but what we got to do is keep running the race that's set before us. Speaking of a race, there's a little race coming up next week. Y'all know that? Is it next week? It's called the Derby, if you didn't know about it. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's in traffic jams over it. But the word says this, that we are in a race. It says, let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us. Do you know, it says also in the world, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Don't quit. Keep running the race. The mission that we're on today that I'm talking about is a relay race. Runners don't just keep the baton. They pass the baton. And what happens if somebody drops the baton? It affects the race. The gospel, the good news of Jesus has been passed down from generation to generation, from disciples to now us. And we are a big part of that race. Can I ask you to imagine something with me? What if you got a letter in the mail and stamped all over that letter it said, urgent, open immediately. There's life-saving information inside. But you never opened it. This gospel is good news. It's too important not to open your mouth. It's too important not to share your faith. It's too important to not live out the commission that God, it's just too important. Think about if you opened that letter. Who opened that letter for you? Was it a friend? Was it a family member? Was it a coworker? Was it a pastor? Or even was it a stranger? Someone carried the message to you. You received it, you took it, and you ran with it. I'm going to challenge you to something this morning. Step out in faith. Come on, step out in faith. Have the assurance of knowing that Jesus is with you all the time, and you have the authority, because he delegated to you, to walk in that authority. Come on, he said you can step on snakes. I hate snakes, and I'm not going to try that one out. But go and be intentional this week. Look for opportunities, I'm going to help you, to share Jesus wherever you are. Find someone that you can encourage, that you can teach, that you can disciple. And if you need someone to disciple you, find someone that can help you. Listen, we're not beyond needing help sometimes. I don't care how long you've been following God. There's times when you need to talk to someone. There's times when you need to learn something. There's sometimes when you just don't have all the answers, even though you think you've had all the answers, and something happens. Find somebody you can talk to. Don't be telling everybody all your stuff, because not everybody's for you. Can I get an amen on that one? But know this, Jesus is for you. What if everyone in this room took that challenge seriously, just this week? They took this mission seriously. Honestly, it would change everything. If every one of the churches right now, if all of us as believers took this mission on, there wouldn't be an empty seat in the church. But we take it so lightly sometimes, this gospel message that we have, we have life. Can you understand that? You have eternal life inside if you've accepted Jesus. And you need to be that life and that light to someone else who needs. This world is walking in darkness right now, y'all. I don't know if you got your head in the sand or not. I don't even know if it's getting any better. We're walking in darkness right now, and they need us to be the light of the world. Families would be transformed. Communities would be changed. And the church as a whole would flourish. If y'all would stand with me, please. Thank you. We're going to have the prayer team on the left and the right-hand side of the stage up here. And the first part of going on this mission with Jesus is to accept the mission. And you accept the mission by accepting Jesus Christ into your heart. And if you've never made that commitment to Jesus, it's, God, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. I know I messed up. But I know that you said you had grace for me. Your blood covers, love covers a multitude of sins, and I know that you're going to cover me this morning. If you have to put your hand over your heart or over your head this morning and just say, God, I want to renew my heart with you today. I want to come and be part of your family and your mission. Maybe you've just been kind of a nominal Christian. Maybe we've just been going through the motions and doing the things, coming to church on Sunday. And maybe you're stirred this morning that, man, I've got to start doing more. I've got to make my opportunities more and more. Can I just tell y'all something right now? You don't got to go look for opportunities. I read a book where the guy said, I used to pray, God, what is my mission today? Put people in my place today. He said, inevitably, all the time, there was always something, almost every single day, God put someone. It may not all been all grandiose every time, like, touch him and he'll be healed. But it was just people were put in his position, in his place, every single day. So I thank God we could just say, God, I'm going on mission with you today. I wanted to know what you want me to do today. They're going to sing a song. We didn't even plan this. This is the Holy Spirit. She didn't really know what I was going to preach about. It's called Use Me, Lord. If you want God to use you in a more profound way, I'm going to ask you, would come gather around here as a sign of just being together. Say, God, I surrender. Part of this song says, I surrender. I give up. I give up my plans for your plans. So as we get ready to sing this song, come on, come gather around this song as a sign of just being just together this morning. Because we're better together. That's what we say. So this morning, let's all come and pray.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.